The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
The following program may contain music with language or themes which some might consider offensive. We advise discretion.
And now, coming to you from the pulsating heart of urban Invercargill, come in, pull up a comfy chair, kick your shoes off, and put these on. TNN, the new normal, are proud to welcome you in to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge.
Tēnā koutou katoa, welcome into the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. We are TNN, the new normal, Darren and Little Ludlow.
Kia ora.
It's a brand new month, month number 11.
Ooh, the best month ever.
Well, somebody's got a birthday. It's the 1st of November, it's episode 275 and we're almost at the end of the year.
Oh, stop it.
I know. Not ready for it, still lots to do, but at the same time also ready for it because another holiday would be kind of nice.
Yes, a hot one.
Yeah, although we did have one of those earlier. Yes. This is a short working week, so we're all rather discombobulated with Labor Day back on Monday. And, of course, it's been, wow, what a week here in the South. Unless you've been living under a rock, you'll realise that last Thursday, which was when we put together last week's episode, in the afternoon came the winds. And, man, did they come.
Yeah, they didn't last very long, but boy, they packed a punch.
Yes, they did. And the devastation is extensive in this part of the world and others as the winds swept their way up the island. Strongest, most ferocious storm in recent history in this part of the world. Many big old trees across Invercargill downed. All the city's parks are still closed to the public because there's lots of trees that are still precarious. There's a lot of parks in our city and it's going to take a while to get around them all.
Yeah, what people don't realise is that even though the trees might not have fallen down, they've still got weaknesses now that they might not have had before.
And branches you might not notice are just hanging by a thread.
Yes, so don't go wandering in for a look.
And if you're one of those people who think, oh, it's my right, it's not, piss off. Because by God, you'll complain when something falls on you.
Yes. Not for long, though.
Well, speaking of natural attrition, some absolute wombats out Bay Road. There were some power lines down, and they were driving over them. What?
Oh, no way.
Many people without power and water and internet for quite a while, which has taught them a few lessons around resilience. We went to the supermarket on Saturday, and they were cleaned out of bottled water. The stupidity of the Book of Face was so evident when you saw people posting about, oh, I can't charge my phone or my vape. Well, there's people who have absolutely no power whatsoever in their house. And, you know, you think for the farmers, particularly dairy farmers, who need to be milking their cows. That doesn't happen by magic without electricity.
Quite a lot of electricity.
And so in amongst the state of emergency that was declared by the minister who you met at the weekend, a couple of Hercs flown down with stores of large generators. And then, of course, again, there's people who are just impatient. They get a generator and go, right, I'll wire it up. No. You actually need an electrician to do that.
Yes, or which is a bit tricky when they're all overworked.
But, yeah, they're like roofers and spouters and gardeners at the moment.
All the useful people.
Yeah, not radio announcers, I'm just fine. But if you've been genuinely affected, not I can't charge my vape, then, you know, thoughts are with you. And the recovery is going to be long and slow. Somebody said, oh, how long until the parks are cleaned? I went, oh, a year.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they'll be closed for that long.
Well, we were just talking about the recovery phase at council during the week. And it's a long tail, it was described as. There's going to be a lot of things that need fixing and checking and all that stuff. So just be patient, folks.
And then as we were getting through all the winds of Friday, along came a lot of rainfall, and suddenly there were flood watches out. And fortunately, touch wood, hasn't come to anything as yet.
There's a bit of snow up country, so yeah, we still need to keep an eye on that melting snow, because it will go somewhere, won't it?
Into the rivers.
Yeah.
It'll flush the cows. interesting to see how people have reacted. Interesting and frustrating. There is a lot of good in there, people rallying around and helping their neighbours, particularly in the rural communities where perhaps their resilience is a bit greater than the urban dwellers.
Well, and they're quite well connected usually.
Yep.
But also they've got good support networks. But it's still tough. You know, if you can't shower and wash all the cow poo off, and the cows are suffering, because one of my colleagues was telling me about the poor cows, you know, staggering in to be milked, but they couldn't be, and they were leaking.
Mm.
They were so full that was just pouring out of them. So he felt bad for his poor cows, but he's done what he could, and he was dumping milk, because of course if you can get the milk out of the cows, that's fine, but you've got to keep it cold until the tanker comes, and if you can't A, keep it cold, and B, the tanker's not coming, you've got to dump it. So there's thousands and thousands of dollars worth of milk gone into effluent ponds to feed the bacteria.
I was thinking about all the people in rural areas who went without power for quite some time.
Yeah, and some of them still haven't got it.
And their deep freezers. And we know what it's like when they defrost.
Ooh, yeah, that's nasty.
That was my fault. And, you know, all that lost food. And shops that there was a thing that J-Rod did on One News about the one of the shops out in Winton having to clean out the freezers. it's just amazing. Interesting though, because One News covered on the Saturday how cut off the township of Lawrence was in southwest Otago, and of course all the methods of communication, normal methods, are gone. Who has a landline? Well, maybe some rural people still do. But then how do they get information around? And they said they've had to print flyers. And I'm thinking, how have you printed flyers?
Yeah.
Maybe they got the old Gestetner out, manually operated Gestetner.
Or you could, you know, do the bat signal in the sky with your overhead projector. That's all requires electricity.
That would be, with a candle.
Yeah, a candle in the window. A
very big candle. There's a light. So lots, it's going to be a long, slow recovery. Lots happened for those people who've been affected. Our thoughts are with you. We fared fine. We didn't have a break in electricity. Oh, speaking of breaks in electricity, that was the thing quite a few townies didn't understand, is when the power goes off, turn off your appliances, because when the power comes on, it comes with a surge, which is generally more than your appliances can take.
I think I said to you at one point, I'm really glad I'm not I don't work in an insurance company call centre, because the townies have also been trying to get insurance claims and things sorted for their appliances and various other bits and pieces. So,
well, long-time listeners to the show will remember our minor drama that went on for about 6 to 8 weeks last year when the glass door to the oven shattered.
Spontaneously.
Just without reason. And so we were trying to file a claim for that with the insurance company, and this is while the Hawke's Bay floods were going on.
I wasn't in a hurry, let's put it that way. I just left it told them to get to it when they could,
in the grand
and they were very good actually.
And they'll be processing their way through stuff, so you know, for and let's not forget that there was a whole lot of strike action last Thursday as well, so probably a good thing that a lot of the kids were still at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though parents might not have thought that way.
Imagine all that traffic on the roads, though.
But there was a big combined meeting at the stadium
of
the unions, and, of course, Fens were there, and by the time the meeting finished, they were all gone.
Yes.
Every single one of them were out and working, not only in the appliances, every vehicle they had was out and doing clearance. So, you know, to all those people, to the people who volunteered to feed the people,
And that young man who organised the student volunteer army.
Yep.
I didn't read the article, but I caught sight of it and I thought, no, he was only 13.
Mm-hmm.
Good on him.
Yep. So, you know, a disaster, but a lot of good in there. And despite the fact that there are many people who have been and still are inconvenienced, there's been great stuff going on as well. That gives you a bit of faith in humanity.
At the Emergency Management Centre, all the teams are working really well together. So,
because they all come from different councils.
And all the councils provide relief staff and controllers for periods of time, and PIMS, as they're called. I don't even know what it stands for.
Information manager.
Yes, something. They're the comms people. It's been really good to see that.
I saw Mr. McSee wandering around in his meeting the other day.
You know, sharing it across all the social media platforms and news platforms so that it all gets out and sorted. But, yeah, when I was in council on the Sunday, I was talking to one of the Fens representative that was there to meet the Minister of whatever he is, NEMA, or Civil Defence, or whatever he's called, Minister Mitchell. I said to her, look, you know, I know you were supposed to be on strike, but actually probably the fact that you were indispensable that day should be a greater argument for how valuable you are and how well you should be paid.
And despite what the employers, i.e. the government, were saying about them at the time being paid, actually they showed themselves to be, no, we are actually focused on the job, so don't say that.
Yeah, I think what did they say? They had 100 and something call outs in Invercargill alone within that kind of 3 or 4 hour period.
Mm.
So thanks very much to those people. And their families, because of course they can't do it on their own.
How was Minister? Because you were there and met him.
I found him. I hadn't met him before. He was quite personable, actually. Didn't have the aura of arrogance that maybe some of the others do. And he definitely listened to what people had to say, because it came out very quickly in his stand-up with the media afterwards and in further press releases from various places. So he certainly was listening and took on board. I think he missed the point about needing to give us a slightly larger mayoral relief fund, but, you know.
It was a pittance.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Shane Brown should have come to the
pit. However, I did notice, actually, because I took it upon myself as an urban representative, to say that, you know, I was really pleased that there were a whole lot of rural hubs and hubs in Invercargill that were offering showers and washing machines and all that stuff, but that some of them were still expecting a coin, you know, operated or coin donation or whatever. And I said, you know,
no one's got cash anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right. You can't be expecting people to scrounge around in their pockets or at the back of the couch for a $2 coin. That stuff should be. And I was getting at the mayoral fund, actually, but the mayoral relief fund. But I noticed after that, this last week, that most of those places are now free. So, yay, somebody was listening.
Interestingly as well, from an organisational perspective, the disaster was declared during the council hiatus. And so
nobody was in charge.
Certainly, no politicians. Good news.
Yeah.
So from the territorial authorities, the mayors were mayor elects. From your position as a regional council, there isn't a mayor, there's a chair, and you hadn't had a meeting.
We were cheerless. We were sad.
Chairs. But everything still functioned. But the mayor elects were still there. You were
which
there.
Is and that situation is why the minister had to declare the state of emergency, because none of the territorial authorities or us could do it ourselves, because we didn't have leaders in place.
So I can't speak for chairs, but what a lot of people don't realise is that in local government and in city and district councils, the mayors who are elected have this range of power. They get to choose their deputy. They get to name the chairs of their committees, and they get to call a civil defence emergency. Apart from that,
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, And depending on where the emergency is, depends on who, which one of those people does the thing.
Yep. Who's and yep. In this instance, it was across all three TAs.
Mm.
So they could have all shouted at once. But, you know, the minister did what needed to be done. And the declaring of the emergency is really about opening up the channels that can get the support in quicker.
Yeah, it's not the emergency part of it's not not a time urgency thing. It's about access to funds and access to
Hercules
the army and all that.
And generators know. And stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, so that's... but, and, you know, for those people who are... thought that the state of emergency should have been declared earlier, it was up to the minister.
Hmm. So there you go.
so complain
try
to
not,
him,
try not
us.
To comment on Facebook at all. So that's, you know, the big news of the past week, and we'll talk about some other effects of it on the way, what's happened in the weekend gone by, because of course it was a long weekend, and what's happening over the next week. Lots going on. Let's get into some music, and one of your favouritest artists ever is what you've selected for the first track today. Why this particular track, though?
Well,
because you changed your mind.
Yes, I did. It's on one of my exercise track things, and it's always good to keep me moving. It's a good dancey one. The title seemed appropriate for this week in some ways and not others. But Prince has always been a tremendous favourite of mine, and of course I was largely introduced to him through Purple Rain and the Batman soundtrack. My two favouritest ever soundtracks, I'd have to say.
Which you have both on LP.
Yes, aside from the odd Monty Python soundtrack, it's slightly different. So the fact that Baby I'm a Star is the one I chose, you know, fitted this week, I thought. Mm. And also, I don't play a lot of Prince, actually, and it's a song from the 1980s, so that's current for us at the minute. And if you're a Prince fan and you haven't found the website princevault.com, it's his official legacy, I suppose, and it's got all the things you need to know, right down to the goriest details of recordings and places and all that stuff. But it's quite interesting, actually.
Was he quite an archivist?
Yeah, and it's all there. It's really interesting. This was, I think, the eighth track on the Purple Rain album, and it was supposed to be... Oh, no, actually, was it the Batman album? No, Purple Rain. But it was supposed to be in... You know, in the Batman movie, in the scene where there's the parade?
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be the...
Oh, Bat Dance?
Yeah, it was... Yep. Yeah, no, it's not.
Oh, no, Party Man was the... song in the parade, wasn't it? Jack Nicholson dancing away to...
It was supposed to be that one, but when they played it to Prince, he thought there was a better place for it, and so it became somewhere else, and they put in whichever one we can't remember now for the... And because he'd taken that song out, he donated 200 balloons for the parade scene, which was... it doesn't seem like much, but it probably was.
Well, they were big ones.
Well, that's true.
And they weren't purple.
No. Prince and the Revolution, the first album that they were actually called, the Prince and the Revolution, actually. Baby, I'm a Star.
We'll be right back.
Nothing like a bit of Prince.
No.
And I can
like
see why you use that for your workout.
Yeah.
Baby, I'm a star.
Baby, I'm a star.
You're listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge, coming via Radio South 96.4 FM and available on our Facebook page from 8 o'clock on a Friday night. If you're an Apple person, we're in Apple Podcasts. If you're an Android, you'll find the accessmedia.nz app in Google Play. Download it and select Radio Southland as your station. But remember, it's always first on our Facebook page, 8 o'clock on a Friday night. Otherwise, you could listen terrestrially, how old-fashioned, on a radio at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning or 6 o'clock on
battery-powered radio, so you don't have to worry about the electricity not working.
Solar-powered one? Last weekend, not Labor weekend, but the weekend prior to that, we had the Southland Entertainment Awards, the ILT Southland Music Awards, I beg your pardon, featuring the SIT Southland Entertainer of the Year and the SBS Bank Southland Music Hall of Fame. During my role as compere for that, I did get a plug-in for Radio Southland playing local music, and I was contacted by somebody. And as a result, a song from them, new music, is on the way. Back before we heard from Prince, we were talking about the storm last week and the fact that a state of emergency was declared. One of the consequences of the storm has, of course, been the postponement of the SBS Bank Tour of Southland, one of the biggest, highest profile sporting events that happens in the South every year and has done for a number of decades. From memory, I don't think it was affected by the pandemic. I think it still happened that year. But it's all a bit blurry that year, to be honest.
Yeah, well, being November, it probably was still on.
Yeah, so
under weird circumstances.
Would have normally have fired up next week, but it's been postponed. And so now there are going to be two tours of Southland in 2026. But I'm guessing the first one will still be the 2025 one. So the one that was about to have been held has now been postponed until the 18th of January, and that'll run from the 18th through until the 21st. 24th, and then again later in early November next year there'll be the 2026 event. So it's good that, you know, not so good for all those people that have made plans and all the accommodation places that suddenly find themselves empty. And it's
in the rental vans.
Well, it's going to be kind of interesting in that I think the final weekend of the tour next year coincides with the big meeting at Tiritaya.
Yeah.
First in, best booked.
Yeah, well, I was talking to a member of the cycling community on, she's a volunteer down there, Wednesday, and trying to fit it in amongst the international calendar and the national calendar and when some of the international riders could get here was going to be the problem. And at that point, she didn't know either that the a new date had been selected, so that she was worried about how they would fit it all in. But they've found a window when the international calendar means that those guys can come. So yay, that'll be that'll mean that the weather in January is a bit shit.
Yeah. along with February, because that's when the Burt Munro happens.
Yes.
And it used to be in November, and basically all the motorbikes had arrived in town along with hideous weather. And so the organisers thought they'd be smart without telling anyone who funds them and shift it to February, and that's where the weather shifted to.
Yeah.
It's always been a bit rough during the Tour of Southland as well, to be fair. And there was one year that they had a sparkling one. It was just a beautiful week of weather, and the cyclists were all complaining.
Yeah, yes, because they do.
That's not why we come here.
Well, that's right. Somebody told me, can't remember who, that they rather like the challenge of the variable weather.
Much to like this weekend, actually, art lovers discover the rich creative fabric of the arts in Murihiku. This Saturday and Sunday, all corners of the region are coming together and being filled with life as artists open their home studios to welcome people. You can come in and have a chat, see the arts processes, maybe even get some Christmas shopping done because artists do need to eat. This is the annual arts trail, which is organised by Arts Murihiku. And they've got mini trails as well if you've only got time to get to one area. There's one in Gore, one in Te Anau, one in Invercargill. and including 11 artists having mini studio spots at Whare Tapua down on 4th Street. There's a folk infusion, say that carefully, have their Tea and Tunes concert 3 o'clock on Sunday this weekend at Whare Tapua. You can go to the Arts Mirahiku website, artsmirahiku.co.nz, and then on there you can download a map that shows you where to go and what times to go to the different places and have a weekend arty roadie. Or you could just pop into Whare Tapua, 34 4th Street, and check that out. Saturday night at the Civic Theatre, we've talked about this before. It is the last night of the proms, which is presented by the Inner Wheel Club of Invercargill North, a fundraiser for hospice, and a star-studded lineup. The inimitable Mr. Barry McDonald is the MC for that event, and I couldn't think of anybody better.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Deborah Waihakapohi, who we haven't seen since the opening of the Civic Theatre.
Yeah, true.
Suzanne Prentice, Cheryl Anderson, Michelle Lang, the Ascot Park Hotel Brass are playing, the Invercargill Symphonia, David McMeeking, and our friends Michael Buick and Craig Waddell are there, and a 100-plus voice choir all performing as a part of that 7:30 Saturday night at the Civic Theatre. You can book at Ticketek. It's $45 for adults, senior citizens and students, $40. Get along and support it. There's no excuse for saying you're bored. I don't know what you do. Time for some music. And I hinted just before about the fact that during the event, the Entertainer of the Year, I had mentioned that Radio Southland likes to support local music and play local music. And we had contact from a guy called Bazza Brown. Now, Bazza's got a very similar background to me. He was born in Gore, but grew up in Wairarapa and now lives in Rumahapa, which is about halfway between Balclutha and Owaka. And I think he was quite surprised that I knew where it was.
Yes, can't say I do.
No, it is only just off the highway.
So has it got a hall so you know where you are?
Well, only if you go off the highway.
Yeah, but it has got a hall where you know you've found it.
Yes, right. and all of three houses. Possibly more than that now. It has been a while. It was last century. Anyway, and even Wairarapa, I talked about the fact I went to Wairarapa school when I worked at the Clutha Leader. I had a day out with Billy T. James and we went down there. He goes, yeah, I was there.
Okay,
now I feel old. So Bazza has put together some music and shared some with me. And one of his tracks that he's sent me through, I really like it. So I thought I'd give it a play.
Good.
As I said, we do play South of music. So this is Bazza Brown and Young. Please enjoy on the Fluffy Slipper Lounge.
Into the bracken by the road when I was young. I used to spend a whole day playing down beside that railway track when I was young. But I ain't young now. Things without a lot of pondering when I was young. If I could go way back to then, I'd probably do it all again, 'cause I was dumb. But I ain't young now. I'm all grown up, but I'm still figuring. I ain't young now. No, I ain't young now.
I'm all grown up, but I'm still figuring out, oh, pretty much everything, really. I ain't young now. When I was young.
Great new music, local music, from Bazza Brown from the Catlins and Young. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks, Barry, for getting that to me. Really enjoyed it. You are listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. Thank you to Radio South on 96.4 FM and the sort of podcasting and streaming platforms that allow us to wiggle our way into your ear. On the way, not too far, we'll check out what's been going on in Lyndall's real world. But I can tell you that in the actual Fluffy Slipper Lounge, Or the Fluffy Slipper Boudoir, both. There will occasionally be this. There'll be a giggle from either one of us.
Yes.
And the next thing, something appears in the Instagram inbox as the reels are being shared. And there'll be some bloody crackers over the last week.
And
yes. Laugh.
Yes.
So what Lyndall's been looking at is on the way, not too far off. Talked about some things coming up this weekend. The week ahead, next week, of course, Guy Fawkes, yay, on Wednesday. We so love, facetiously, people being given access to explosives and letting them off in their backyards and inappropriate conditions.
Well, it's no Hanabi, is it?
No, it's not. But the organised event, which is funded by the Imakaga Licensing Trust and coincides with an anniversary of theirs, is being hosted out at the Aotea Electrical Riverside Speedway next Saturday, the 8th of November. So there's a speedway meeting out there with the stock cars at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that goes into the evening, and then once darkness falls, fireworks light up the sky, and that's the place to go to see that kind of activity. On at ILT Stadium Southland next Saturday, Diwali.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's always good fun.
Well, it's a big day next Saturday anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
All kinds of things going. Andrew Fagan here next Friday.
Yep.
With his tour, and we played his song a couple of weeks back. You were sharing with me on Wednesday night that the group BTS are coming to New Zealand.
They've announced their world tour venues, not dates, as far as I'm aware, although people like TJ Mills will probably know more than I do. Hey, TJ, hope your back's better. Yes, and they've got Eden Park, which will still not be big enough because people are just crazy mad about BTS. They're all back from their military service, and they seem to be working in the States currently. RM, their team leader, who's very smart and well read and all of those things, as well as very capable, was invited to speak at the APEC conference to all the leaders in Seoul, and interestingly, actually, he was encouraging them to recognise, excuse me, the creatives in their communities, and I've actually got a quote for you.
Ooh.
Didn't think I'd be using it here, I just wanted to keep it. As a creator and an artist of this generation, I would like to use this opportunity to make a request to the leaders and distinguished guests of APEC. There are creators all around the world. Please help them. Give them the financial support so that their own creativity can bloom. Give them the opportunities so that their talents can really shine.
You know who does that well?
Not us.
Cuba.
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah, they do, because they have free access to ballet and piano and all of that stuff. They don't do a lot.
Like a real louse.
Yeah.
Make a good cigar.
Yeah.
So I hear.
Yeah, so yes, BTS and Eden Park and I don't know when.
Sometime next year.
After March, it'll probably be late in the year, I guess.
What's happening in March?
That's when they're launching themselves back into the universe.
I'm trying to remember the name of the group that we're going to see in Melbourne.
One OK Rock.
That's right, thank you.
They are already touring worldwide. They'll be knackered by time they get to March, far out.
Well, they better put a bit of effort in.
Yeah, they should, yeah.
You know. So who have you chosen this week for our Musical Taste of Asia?
Well, we're back to the good old Tiny Desk concerts.
Oh, right, okay.
NHK and Japan have started a new series of that, and that popped up into my feed the other day, so I had a wee listen and went, ooh, that's quite cool. The biggest ensemble that they've had in the Tiny Desk studio ever. So I went hunting for the muso and found him. His name is Stutz. S-T-U-T-S, all capitals. Young man who is an, quote, MPC virtuoso.
What?
So the MPC is one of those little...
Not a rugby
music,
competition.
I've now forgotten the name of it. You know, the little sampling and sequencing decks that they use. Akai put them out. It's a little, you know, just looks like a big calculator. So he's a virtuoso on one of those, and he's in mid-30s, works with lots of people to make good sounds. I didn't choose the track that caught my attention on the YouTube version of the Tiny Desk concert. I went hunting and had a listen to some of his other stuff, and this is one of those.
Good heavens.
He's works with Zot in this one. It's a, and you'll understand who Zot might be by the kind of Caribbean vibes of this one.
So I watched the video
of
the original track and was not what I expected.
Yeah. So it's called Perfect Blue, this track. Stutz, hunt him down, have a watch of the NHK Tiny Desk concert that's just been released, because there's a wide variety of genre that Stutz is able to work in, and you might just quite like the groovy vibes. So here we go. Stutz and Zot, Perfect Blue.
ハリタテって指君に合わせてハンドルタップする外すとない選挙これはステッフィンかリー先取りする紅葉君の隣春夏冬秋がないから秋が来ないキミと得る秋のないスケジュールぬっては会いに行くだってベビー I need you 笑顔が咲いてくデータ見つめていたい君との世界スタッツのベースラインゾートのメイバーのカリペイバーコトバのフレイクラン窓を開けて流してるべのらりくだりやってる日々太い葉巻き吹かした連れマフラー見たく吐いた煙君を乗せやすくなるエンジン冷たい風を送れんわやし波の音張りまわし中に旅の予定より巻いてスピード落とし抜ける ETC 雲一つ濁りない天気 他の座席で飲み干すヘイジ落ちてく夕日終わりない海緩やかな道まるでペプシー君と俺のダチとそれここにはないわけ隔て何が起きても夏のせいだろ潮風が吹き抜ける楽園にやけた肌と気も忘れ流れる音身を任せ夜が来てもそのまま stay インパラ見たくハネスウェイ
Relax, relax, self-cast, ことなく思いきる吸い込んじまった Starts on the wipe track 大胆に吐き出したら How high? 食い揺らす煙中へ My girl いつ頃だったろう登る影ろ上げ足取られ寝そべったソファの底あの子は遠くの遠に記憶の奥の奥の方にでもダンスでもレッツゴーシミスガスあの頃の俺と今のディスタンスうーあーしたちまは約束はたやすく壊れていった One no by story で I promise the sky And 見な思い出 Good old days 懐かしの風に乗って
Stats and Zot, featuring TG, Jojo, Daichi Yamamoto, Ryo Z, all those people in there as well.
Yes.
According to the details that I came across. And Perfect Blue. It's really a nice popular little tune, that.
Well, yeah, it's a good kind of summer vibe, yep. You know.
Oh, gosh, it's almost here. Maybe. We hope. Yes. Better be. I'm not sure I subscribe to the theory of global warming. Climate change? Yes, I accept that. But global warming? I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge on Radio Southland. Thank you very much for joining us for that. On the way, a piece of New Zealand music that has a touch of flashback and a local connection. A local connection to this radio station. Nothing to do with me. Anyway, it's that time of the week. We like to do this.
Steve Le. Le poisson Steve, il est orange, il a des bras et des jambes. Le poisson Steve.
This time every week, we like to go into the darkest part of Lyndall's browsing history. And
oh.
I don't know.
I'm no, it's not the darkest part. I can't share the darkest
part. Luke, I am your mother. This is Lyndall's Real Word, when we take a look at strange stuff that she's found on the internet, which she's been doing for a few decades now, like since the internet was formed.
Yes, yes, if only that website still existed.
Because it was one back when you were doing a TV segment. Or was it when you were in the UK? No, it was in the UK.
I'd only not long got a computer, and so it was really early days.
The big chicken.
The big chicken. In the coop, no one can hear you scream. Anywho, there's lots of other chickens on the internet these days.
Bunch of bad mother cluckers.
I wasn't going to talk about this one today, but I can't tell you the account name, though, because I haven't got it in front of me. But there was a woman in the States. You know how you have dog walkers?
Yes.
And they have about 7 or 8 dogs on leads, and they take them for a walk. This woman had her chickens out.
what?
Yeah, she'd put little harnesses on them, and she'd taken them for a walk.
Oh.
It was footage from the security camera at her front door, and she was trying to get into the house with the chickens to take them take them home. And there was one that was misbehaving, and they all had names and little. I was like, oh man.
Wow.
Anyway, what I was going to talk about today is an account called Disco_Bambino. He is a music curator and scholar of Italian 70s and 80s disco culture. And a lot of the stuff's just, you know, very 70s, 80s Italian, actually. But the reel that caught my eye was Mushrooms from Space caused quite a stir on Italian TV in 1982. Mm. And it's this kind of Barbarella, sparkly set and some scantily clad dancers, kind of like Copacabana, but with an alien space theme from the 80s, 70s and 80s. And this woman...
There's like your pole dancing dragons.
It's like, this is just...
Worse.
And when I think about it, actually, I remember when I lived in Italy for a brief time, the game shows were like out of this world. They were all sparkly and like showgirl stuff, and it was just ridiculous. So
absolutely insane like the Japanese ones.
No. They were sparkly and shiny and all glittery and...
Bejazzled.
Very much like this reel, actually. So if you get a chance, go to disco_bambino and have a look at Mushrooms from Space causing quite a stir.
This is following on from a theme from the other musical Mushrooms that you were talking to us about, how they...
Oh, yeah, true that. Fungi.
Mm.
Oh,
mushrooms make a noise. Who knew?
I know. And I played you another one when we got home, eh?
Yep.
Amazing.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive. Musical mushrooms. Who knew it? In this case, Mushrooms from Space.
Mushrooms from Space.
Is it kind of like Pigs in Space from the Muppet Show?
Yes, in a way. Okay. The set looks a bit kind of, yes. Well, it's a lot of silver.
That's what's been going on this week.
Steve Le. Wow. Le Poisson Steve. Il est orange. Il a des bras et des jambes. Le poisson Steve.
Talking sport after the next piece of music, which comes from a New Zealand group that had its chart origins back in the year 1992 with an album, two singles, one of which did really well, the other which, that I couldn't remember it. But fair to say that the group Push Push, which is, responsible for giving the world Mikey Havoc, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, we're really grateful.
And then he got a show with Newsboy, and then Newsboy became Jeremy Wells. And it's amazing what came from Push Push.
Yeah, I didn't like Newsboy.
Neither did Gore.
No.
as it happens. Anyway, Push Push have gotten back together.
Ooh.
And are going to do a tour.
Right.
And have released a new single. So one of this country's biggest Push Push fans, recognised by the band, Ingratitude, is the host of Live Life Live, Daryl Shuttleworth.
Ooh.
Now, Daryl might hate Nickelback.
So I don't know why.
But he loves Push Push, enjoy Kiss.
Yes, righto. Well, indulge him then.
And apparently he's doing their socials.
Oh.
Doing all their social media.
Nice.
For this upcoming activity, which is great.
Yeah.
That they recognise his, I hope it's a bit cleaner than some of the stuff he normally posts. He does find himself in Facebook jail quite a lot for pushing boundaries. But that aside, I'm sure he's been completely responsible with Push Push, a bunch of upstanding erstwhile musicians from this country. The new single is called Clutching at the Sky, and have a listen, see what you think.
Thank you.
That's brand new from New Zealand band Push Bush, back from the 90s with a new track called Clutching the Sky. My advice to them would be leave the tune up at the beginning. Once it gets going, it's all right.
Yeah, it's very them, actually.
But
it's
all that shit at the beginning was a complete waste of my time. Daryl, have a word with them.
Yeah.
Rest of it after that, liking it. Sports talk, which will take us up to the end of this particular episode. MPC final last weekend. Canterbury hosted Otago. Canterbury won 36-28. Close game.
Yeah, and just exciting to have Otago in the final.
Yep. Been a while.
Yep.
Rugby-wise, next, it's the Northern Tour. We play Ireland in Chicago this Sunday, 9 a.m. New Zealand time. Didn't go well for us last year. And then off to the UK, and they play the games at 5 o'clock in the evening. They should play them at night because it would be better for our time. Scotland at Murrayfield, November the 9th at 4 a.m. our time.
You sound like a Formula One.
Well, if they can do it, so can we. England at Twickenham on the 16th of November at 4 a.m. and Wales in Cardiff.
Going to be a tough tour, that one.
Yep.
Good luck to them.
It was nice, speaking of Formula One, having gentlemen's hours and watching it at 9 o'clock in the morning on a holiday Monday, Mexican Grand Prix. McLaren's Lando Norris was the comfortable winner and now leads the Drivers' Championship. Got booed, not understanding why. Ferrari's Charles Leclerc was second and Red Bull's Max Verstappen third. Could have been a different way around between those two if they hadn't pulled a virtual safety car in the last couple of laps. Yeah. And that was a stupid move that's been
exciting race this time.
Panned globally. Not for Liam Lawson.
No.
He was a DNF after being run off at the first corner by Carlos Sainz.
Carlos.
Now, this is the person who's criticised Liam in the past. However, there was a point where he went and changed his front wing and he came back out. And we didn't see it in the coverage, but the footage later has shown that they get to the first chicane. There's a couple of marshals standing in the middle of the bloody track. Yeah, what the hell? Someone's going to get their ass kicked for that. Rounds remain. Next weekend, they're in Brazil. Sprint race, 3 a.m. Sunday morning. I don't think we'll see that live after your dancey wancey prancey party. Grand Prix, Monday morning, 6 o'clock New Zealand time. Gold Coast in Queensland for the Boost Mobile 500 last weekend. Carnage on the streets. Saturday's race won by Chaz Mostert with Brock Feeney second and Kai Allen third. Poor Ryan Wood. Broken fuel container and had to retire, and he'd qualified on pole.
Yeah.
On Sunday, Mostert made it a double with another win. Feeney was second again, and Kiwi Andre Heimgartner third. So the next round is at Sandown. There's two rounds to go. It's an elimination. So there were 10 people in the first round at Gold Coast. Then they go down to 7 and then down to 4 for the last round in Adelaide at the end of November.
Four. People.
Everybody else is still racing, but there are only 4 people in contention for the championship.
I was going to say, they were not much of a race. There's only 4 people on the track.
So the 7 that are still in contention, Brock Feeney, Chaz Mostert, Matt Payne, he's the only Kiwi to survive, Cam Waters, last year's champion Will Brown, Kai Allen and Thomas Randall. So that's winner Sandown. Checks his notes. Haven't made a note of that. Oh, 15th and 16th of November, so a couple of weeks away. Shane van Gisbergen doing all right at NASCAR Xfinity 500 last weekend, 14th. Next round is the NASCAR Cup Final at Phoenix, 9 a.m. this Monday morning on 3 Now. This weekend, the Leeches are racing. Brendan is defending his world championship title at the Lamborghini Super Trofeo World Championships. So that's this weekend, while his brother Damon is driving in the GT4 Enduros up at Hampton Downs this weekend.
Nice.
Tough weekend last weekend in Sepang, Malaysia for Cormac Buchanan in the MotoGP. On the way, on the sighting lap to the start-finish line, two riders collided horribly and some pretty bad injuries have been suffered. And the race was delayed for bloody nearly 2 hours. Cormac had an off during qualifying and so started from the back and then he had another off during the race at the same spot, ironically. So he was a DNF.
No, I just saw an update this morning. Is stable
right
now, not so critical.
That's good. Yeah. Penultimate round, Portimao, Portugal, next weekend, November the 9th. Final round, Valencia on the 16th. And that's what's going on in the wild world of sport. And that's what's been going on this week in the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. Look after your neighbours. Take care. Thank you very much for listening. And we shall look forward to catching you back next week.
Ka kite, don't be a dick.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.